The Kappa J Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
Kappa J Hood. J Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Captain J Hood. On the ride in on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Hope that you're going to have a great Thursday. Still to come, shot or no shot. We do it every day at 8 o'clock. Deal breakers at 8:35 here on ESPN 1000. At ESPN Chicago app, I talked about, you could find the odds couple with Carmen DeFalco and Mike North. You want to get your bets ready for the weekend, check out Odds Couple. It airs on Friday. You can catch the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. We're talking about the Bulls and their victory against the Miami Heat, 116-108. DeMar DeRozan was red hot, really picking up where he left off. He was outstanding yesterday against the Heat. DeMar DeRozan is the most clutch Chicago athlete since blank. DeRozan, the most clutch Chicago athlete since blank. You have Jake Arrieta.
Correct.
And I'm leaning toward the Blackhawks. I'm leaning toward, I guess if I have to decide, I guess it would be Patrick Kane.
Yeah, he's a wonderful player. He's going to the Hall of Fame. This is not a shot at him, so let me be clear. That team is so bad. What clutch thing has he done in the last few years?
Well, we weren't talking about 2022. Are you asking about Arrieta's 2022?
No.
Okay.
Well, I'm saying DeMar is the most clutch since.
Yeah.
Okay, when was Kane clutch in the last 6 years on that dead-ass Blackhawks team? That's just a fact.
I'm just talking about those championship years, just like you're talking about the championship years for the Cubs. Same thing.
And I picked Arrieta because he's most recent for me.
I understand. I'm just talking about what I would just consider possibly the best American-born player that
I've
seen.
No question. He goes down as the greatest, in my opinion, the greatest American-born hockey player ever.
By the way,
Jimmy
Butler, he's going to get you 24 points and 8 rebounds for Jimmy Butler. You know, it's funny about Jimmy. Mm-hmm. Jimmy really helped that Miami team get to where they were last year. They were on the precipice of getting to the Eastern Conference Finals last year.
Number one seed.
But Jimmy was carrying that team. Just like yesterday, he kept marching to the foul line because one of the best drivers to the basket that we have in the game. Jimmy's not trying to shoot a whole bunch of threes. As a matter of fact, he didn't even attempt one because he was trying to drive to the basket against the Bulls. The Bulls' defense is something we've talked about a lot last year. Cap, in the first half, the one thing you know about the scouting report, I don't need to read it. I've seen enough Heat games. They shoot the hell out of the ball. They shoot a blank ton of threes.
How about Tyler Hero, man?
Well, they shoot a blank ton of threes, right? And so you can't have defense where the game's in Miami and, like, the defense is in Naples. Stop. You got to be able to close out on shooters. You know, if Max Strus has got the basketball, what do you think he's going
to
do?
Dude, that's the guy the Bulls need to go after. He went to Lewis University here in Joliet. It's Joliet, right?
It is.
And DePaul. Transferred to DePaul. He was playing for the Bulls. He tore the Windy City Bulls.
I called his games.
Tore his ACL. Mm-hmm. You may have been calling that game. Tore his ACL. The Bulls let him go.
Yeah.
Miami said, we'll sign. I ran into him at the East Bank Club.
Yeah.
Yeah, Miami said I could rehab down there. They'd sign me. They sign him to a deal. That's what Miami and a smart organization does. The Bulls were between front offices. He falls through the cracks. He ends up down. He's an unrestricted free agent. He's making like a million whatever. Nothing in NBA money. Did you see that guy banging threes?
Yeah.
They space the floor. There's Duncan Robinson. That guy can shoot the crap out of it.
Yes, he can.
There's Tyler Hero. Oh, he needs a break. Max Strus. They just keep spacing the floor with shooting.
I'm sure that you were sitting there, you know, watching that game and talking to the people on YouTube watching that, and you're like, probably kind of in the afterglow watching how they space the floor and how they swing the ball.
It's amazing.
They swing
to watch.
To the open shooter.
If I told you you had to hire, you started your own team. Yep. Or they name Jonathan Hood president of this NBA team, and your coaching job's open. You can have anybody coaching. I'm not saying you can go back in the past to someone dead. Anyone coaching today, who are you hiring?
So it can't be Wes Unseld.
Cannot.
Okay, so it would have to definitely be Eric Spoelstra.
100% same answer.
But bring your scouting department too.
No question.
it just can't be Eric Spoelstra, who's smart enough. But bring your scouting department too. And if Riley's available, bring him in too.
Correct.
Because there is a system there. There's a Heat culture there. You will knock down the three-point shot. You will pass the basketball. You will get your others involved. You will play tight defense. That's Heat culture.
Well, shooting is what this game is about, and I think that's a big fail by the Bulls. They didn't get enough shooting. The Heat look and go, well, we've got Tyler here. Add Duncan Robinson. He's not real athletic. Not a great pat. He could shoot the crap out of it. Draft him. This Strus kid blew his ACL in Chicago in the Windy City Bulls G League team. Interested? Can he shoot it? He could shoot the hell out of it. Mm-hmm. Bring him in. That's what they do. They keep adding to their shooters.
Yeah. I mean, it's part of what they do. And the Bulls came out on top, and they won 116 to 108. We want to get your thoughts about DeMar DeRozan and the Bulls. 312-332-3776. Let's go to the phone lines to talk to you. We will say hello to Jacob in St. Charles on ESPN 1000 on Cap and J Hood. Good morning, Jacob.
What's up, Sparkles?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show.
Appreciate
you having me on.
Thank you.
You know, I just wanted to say, you know, yesterday when I heard the news of Zach LaVine's knee injury, you know, I felt that knot in my stomach, you know, when you heard that Derek messed up his knee and, you know, you hear Lonzo's out for so long. And it put me in a really terrible mood yesterday, just like, oh, here we go again, going into the season, got another guy injured. And then just seeing this team, you know, bounce back and having Andre Drummond and Goran Dragic, you know, shore up the backups. And it made me feel a lot better watching, you know, going into it. And I just kind of wanted to throw that off my mind.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Listen, I think a lot of Bulls fans are like, what the hell's going on here? Like, wait, LaVine's not starting? He may not play the next game, too. We got to find out if he's going to even be available for the next game. But you watch the game, and it gave you a lot of comfort to know that DeRozan was going to say, okay, I'll put it on my shoulders, because he did that a lot last year, too.
I don't see him playing Friday. Do you?
I'm hearing that he's not.
So he sits Friday because he wants to play in the home opener on Saturday.
Yep.
Now, if he doesn't play Saturday, then there's something seriously wrong. Seriously.
Cap, I will tolerate it now. But, man, if this is a lingering issue, especially after he secured the bag, not good.
Correct.
Not good.
Completely agree.
Brother, seriously. Like, because the window's open for whatever you think this is with the Bulls. It's a playoff window. It's a window in which you can get to the postseason. The Bulls will make the postseason this year. I don't know what they're going to do in it, but they're going to be in the postseason. But while this window is ajar, hey, man, you got to be able to make some dividends here. Can I just make the declarative statement? Hey, Karnišovas and Eversley, and we hinted on this a day or two ago. The honeymoon's over, pal. Honeymoon's
right.
Over.
Like that's it.
That's enough of that. Now you go through what you're going to go through this year. But next year, if you're not really seriously getting the team better with some shooting, bench and starting, you got a problem.
They're 19th in payroll.
That's got to get better. It was shocking when you told me that yesterday.
You want a hot take?
Shocking.
You want a hot take?
Yeah.
The team that's doing the most, and we'll evaluate that, I guess, after the winter, but from what I hear, what they're going to do, the team that's trying to win the most in this city plays at Wrigley.
Sky.
No.
Well, we'll see.
The Hawks?
Yeah.
We'll see in 5 years.
Yeah.
And they've admitted that.
Yeah.
The Bulls? Stop. They're 19th in payroll. Stop. The Bears? Don't make me laugh. The White Sox?
We'll see.
They got nothing at the deadline except Jake Diekman, who's not very good, and he was a salary dump. They did nothing. All in to win? Stop.
Asking you, who's the most clutch athlete? DeMar DeRozan's the most clutch Chicago sports athlete since? Fill in that blank for us as we go to Dyer, Indiana. Here's Coffeeman on ESPN 1000. Coffee Man.
Oh, that's some good coffee. Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up?
Coffee Bin.
What's going on? Living the dream. Most clutch player?
Yes.
Robbie Gould. When was the last time we had a kicker on the Bears that you felt comfortable putting in the game?
How about that?
Answer that question.
Well, now the guy Santos.
Oh, get out of here with that. He's talking about the all-time great. Don't come in here with that Santos. We're talking about an all-time great. Stop.
We've got one of the best kickers in the game.
He's talking about historically. Stop.
Yeah, you're better than that.
What are you talking about? Robbie Gould?
I love Robbie Gould. He's a friend. He's a great dude.
And still to today, he's Mr. Reliable for San Francisco.
Well.
Yeah. Usually.
So, that's right.
Not as much.
Yeah.
But we understand, though. I mean, but as far as an all-time Bear cap, it's Butler and Gould.
Yes, I don't disagree. But the question is, most clutch Chicago athlete is DeMar DeRozan. I don't think there's anybody even close right now today. Who's the most clutch since?
Shane Norley.
Most recent.
Shane Norley, I need to look up the amount of points for the Chicago Bears. Where's Gould in that list? It's got to be right there in the top three, right? Most points scored?
Got to be up there.
He's got to be right there, right?
What year did he leave here?
What do you have
that
there?
That was a Ryan Pace, John Fox production, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Robbie Gould is the all-time leading scorer in Chicago Bears history.
There you go.
Bam! The great Robbie Gould.
Agreed. But they let him go in 2015?
Yes, it was time to go.
Okay, so the most clutch player prior to DeMar now, mm-hmm. Robbie Gould wasn't that guy in 15. 15, mm-hmm. 16 was Arrieta. So the answer is Arrieta. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have someone other than Arrieta, it's not Robbie Gould. Prior to that, maybe Robbie Gould.
All right. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. We'll take more of your phone calls. Thanks from Coffeyman stopping by and giving us his thoughts. Coming up, we'll also talk about the Chicago Bears. We'll hear from Matt Eberflus, the head coach for the Chicago Bears. What's been the most frustrating part of this team through the first 6 weeks? We'll talk about the Bears. We'll talk about the Bulls.
That they have no talent.
All right, I guess we're not talking about that now. That's blown. All part of the mix here on Cap and J-Hood. All right, here we go.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and J-Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap J-Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Captain J-Hood. Mornings 7 to 10. On Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Don't forget, we have got Deal Breakers coming up at 8:35. It is a Deal Breakers Thursday. Nature Boy Ric Flair scheduled to join us in our 9 o'clock hour right here on ESPN 1000. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. The Bears are going to get ready to take on the New England Patriots. And no matter whether or not the Patriots are in the middle, if they're up or down, it is Bill Belichick, the greatest that we've ever seen at the head coaching position in the National Football League. We've seen so many greats, but this guy is just a difference maker when it comes to getting a team ready and prepared for their opponent.
You really have him as the greatest.
Yep.
I'm not saying I didn't. I just want to throw a couple other candidates out there.
No, it's Belichick.
Don Shula, winningest coach of all time.
Great steakhouse.
Delicious. George Halas, who he's tied with. Vince Lombardi.
Mm-hmm.
There's some amazing coaches. Amazing.
Let's hear from the greatest
Matt
to ever
Nagy.
Do it. All right, with Matt Nagy. That's enough of that. So Bill Belichick is trying to let the Chicago press know that playing the Bears, dangerous game. Dangerous game, Cap.
We better come ready to play. They're loaded.
How about Bill Belichick? Now, here's a guy here that is, if you look up the word brevity in the dictionary, you'll find Belichick's face. He doesn't say a lot. It's usually mumbles underneath his breath.
Coach, let's talk about, the lot. We're on to Cincinnati.
Yes.
We're on to Cincinnati. But, Coach, we're on to Cincinnati. Yes. That's it.
That's it. It doesn't mind if he gets fined or if he does utter something into the microphone.
So yesterday, 1,003-word opening monologue. 1,003 words, 7-plus minutes on the Bears.
His thoughts about the Bears team and offense. Here's a little sample a Bill. Go ahead.
Do you have the first thing where he forgets our coach?
I mean,
I don't know if we have that.
We have an executive producer. Ask him. I have four cuts in front of me. You want me to parse through and see which what? Ask him.
It's in there.
Okay.
Go.
So where I'm going is to hear from Bill Belichick, the head coach for the New England Patriots. He gives us thoughts on the Bears team and the offense.
You know, a pretty impressive group and really a young team that you can see getting better all the time. Coach has done a really good job here with, you know, installing his system and I think adapting and to the personnel that they have there, and obviously getting a lot of young players involved. It's one of the youngest teams in the league. Offensively, Fields is a major threat every time he touches the ball. A very athletic kid. Mooney is really an outstanding receiver. He's had a ton of production, and
he has 200 plus.
I can see why. He's very, very good at everything. Plays multiple positions in the slot a lot, but they'll move him around, and he's had a ton of production. And then, of course, the backs, Herbert and Montgomery, are very good. This running game is right there with Cleveland. I mean, they literally have about the same exact amount of yardage. I think Herbert's leading the league in yards per carry. They're very hard to tackle, and they do a real good job with their running game and the play action game as well. A lot of explosive plays, lead the league in yards per pass attempt. They've hit some big plays. Some of those are catch and run plays, and then when you add on field scrambles, which are, they might count as running plays in the stats, but they're actually passing plays. In terms of having to defend them, there are really a lot of explosive plays there that are a problem.
Some of that's true, some of it's not. Some of it's true.
Yeah, I won't disagree. Some of it is true. David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert are a very good duo. Again, I don't know if David Montgomery will be here at the trade deadline because he's a free agent at the end of the year, and I don't think they're going to pay him. But some of that, the explosive plays... He goes on, I know you got more to play, Velus Jones and the special team. Really? Where are all the explosive plays he's talking about?
Jones, in a return game, strong, explosive guy, and we spent a lot of time on him.
It's fine.
Really dangerous with the ball in his hands. And then, Pettis and Ebner. Ebner on the kickoff returns, another fast guy, plays really on all their special teams And Pettis, experienced guy back there, he's, him some on punt returns. But it's a good special teams unit, very sound.
They fumble.
Good players, and, just a lot of tough matchups there for us.
Do you think he's trolling with the balls in his hand? He's dangerous? Because he fumbles all the time.
What's he talking
he's
about?
Two of the last 3 weeks.
When he has the ball in his hand, he's dangerous. Well, that's kind of rare.
That's actually true. When his ball's in his hands, it is dangerous because it might hit the turf. Actually, he's not lying there. See, there's a mixture of hyperbole and truth in there.
Well, when he says that Ebner's really quick, Velus Jones is dangerous, we did a lot of work on him. Yeah, in the draft. Correct. I get it. He's fumbled twice in the last 3 weeks. And if he's back there again on Monday night and he fumbles again, that's not his fault. That's on the coach. That is on the coach 100%. Fool me once, shame on you, Jonathan. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times? Come on.
Coach Eberflus has really done a good job. I mean, in the second half, they're the best defensive team in the second half of games in the league. Haven't given up much anything here in six games. I think they're under 7 points a game in the second half or something like that. So. You watch them play in the second half, and it seems like as they gain confidence, figure out what the offense is doing, make some adjustments, they've been able to really shut almost everybody down, and so that's obviously a big concern for us as well. So
they average 15 points a game.
Well,
it's a lot of concerns there.
I mean, listen. He's got to put something up there on the board for the Patriots to look at.
Yeah, you don't walk in guys, that team's horrible.
Yes.
We should win this game 38-7. You got me? Let's go to practice. No, nobody says that.
Now, I'll tell you this. I asked my old partner, the late Doug Buffon. I said, you guys lost a lot of games. I said, you hurt a lot of people, you and Butkus in that group, but you lost a lot of games. Was there ever a game in which you went into the game thinking that you're going to win? He said, Little John is what he'd call me. Little John, when the Buccaneers came into the league, we thought we knew we could beat them. And we didn't have, we practiced hard, but we saw those uniforms and we said, we can beat them. When they saw their creamsicle and saw that they were an expansion team and they were terrible.
And they went 0-14. And John McKay, what do you think your team's execution? I'm in favor of it.
Yes.
That's the coach said that.
And that's the only time where he said, a coach, it might have been Armstrong, just was like, we can beat that team. We can beat that team. Let's go. Let's eat. And Doug's like, okay. And they did. They beat the because that was a terrible team. But Belichick's got to put something on the board. You're a coach. You understand that. Uh-huh. Do not let down against this team because they do this, this, this. Now, some of that stuff's true. But now you're going over the top in praise. And it's almost like he's trolling the Bears. If you've never spoken this long or this openly about anything or anyone in your career and you do it to the Bears, that means you're scared that you don't want to get embarrassed on Monday Night Football. It's your team. What do you think?
I think it's anti-bulletin board material. I think he's just, hey, we're going to take this team very seriously. We're not going to, you know, put anything up. Yeah, they're not that good. We're just going to go beat them. I think it's the anti-bulletin board material where you want to keep your team locked in. Don't overlook an inferior opponent and just make sure you go win a football game.
What if he was playing against you, me, and Jonathan? Does he say to his team, see the size of the hood guy? He's a big dude, man. We're going to have our hands full trying to block him. The Norling kid, we're going to have a really tough time slowing him down. We put a lot of work in on him in the draft. I mean, really? Does he say that about everybody?
Yes, absolutely. Because you know why? You know why he's the best? Is because he makes sure that that no stone is not unturned. Make sense? He wants to make sure that everything is that you know about everything about everything about the opponent. Respect the opponent.
Correct.
Haven't you said that as a coach?
Yes.
Respect the opponent.
I guess I'm speaking as a non-coach now.
Wait a minute. When you coached, if you played IIT,
yeah.
Someone gave you the scout, or you did the scout.
I usually did the scout.
Okay.
And I would say, okay, this kid Hood for IIT can flat out score.
Ah, Cap. He's just trying to justify his pay. No. Look
that
at this kid.
That kid can score. And I remember one of the games, Kenny Battle was guarding somebody, and he came to the bench at, like, you know, the second timeout. Guy had scored zero. He goes, yeah, your boy's struggling. Can't score.
Okay. But okay. Still, you got to.
Thanks.
You still got to. But you still have to do the scout. You got to do the work, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Bears. But he doesn't want to get embarrassed with that team.
Correct.
Against the Bears?
Correct.
So you get it, right?
Right. Whether it's the star quarterback or the 53rd man with an irrelevant number, that you are going to know everything about that player because we aren't going to overlook anybody.
Now
that's what I think it is.
Now, being effusive in praise of the Bears, and that's over the top, you can give your brief scout report.
He may have been having a little fun.
Well, the first cut you played, yep. Play that again real quick.
Sure. And we got deal breakers coming up.
We do.
You know, a pretty impressive group and really a young team that you can see getting better all the time.
They've lost four in a row.
You know, Coach.
Haven't they? Or three in a row?
Dangerous team.
He's done a really good job here with, you know, installing his system and adapting to the personnel that they have there and obviously getting a lot of young players involved. It's one of the youngest teams in the league. Offensively, Fields is a, you know, is a major. Major threat every time he touches the ball. Very athletic kid. Mooney is a really an outstanding receiver. He's had a ton of production, and I can see why he's very very good at everything. Plays multiple positions.
Production
in the slot a lot. But they'll move him around, and he's had a ton of production. And then of course the backs, Herbert Montgomery are very good.
Yes.
You know, this running game is right there with Cleveland. I mean, they literally have about the same exact amount of yardage.
Nothing like Cleveland.
I think Herbert's leading the league in yards per carry.
Yes.
They're very hard to tackle.
Yes.
And, you know, they do a real good job with their running game.
Yes.
And the play action game as well.
No.
A lot of explosive plays, lead the league in yards per
very
pass
few.
Attempt.
Nope.
They've hit some big plays. Some of those are catch and run plays, and then when you add on field scrambles, which are, they might count as running plays in the stats, but they're actually passing plays.
Yes.
In terms of having to defend them, there really a lot of explosive plays there that are a problem.
No. A lot of yes and no there, right? No.
Correct.
Not true.
Correct.
Deal Breakers. It's coming up next here on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Woo!
Tonight, the Nature Boy Ric Flair will stop by Zen Leaf Naperville to meet and greet fans, take photos, and drop in to let people know about his Ric Flair drip merchandise. Between 5:30 and 7:30, recently Verano, a Chicago-based cannabis company and owner of Zen Leaf, and Ric Flair announced a partnership to develop Ric Flair drip cannabis products. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you on Cap and J Hood, it is our pleasure to talk to the man, the greatest world champion of all time, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, is with us on Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
So excited to talk to you, man. My brother Bruce and I watching you on wrestling growing up, the 70s and 80s. Man, it's awesome to have you on.
Thank you. I'm honored. I'm sorry. My voice is a little bad. I've been traveling a lot. I apologize.
No, you sound great as always. I want to know, how is life for you right now, Rick? You're doing this in so many different things. How's life for you?
Oh, my life is great. Does this show get national traction?
Absolutely.
Yes, it does.
Coast to coast, border to border.
I'm watching these idiots on Get Up. D. Wood and Bart Scott and Nitsky, Rob, crack on Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Just wish to walk in the studio because they would all kiss his ass. I'm serious. I hope D. Wood and Bart Scott hear it. And I can't think of his last
name. Rob Ninkovich.
He's from Chicago.
Yeah, Rob Ninkovich. I love those guys. But when they crack on Tom Brady, I wish you'd walk in that. They would all kiss his ass.
No doubt.
Hey, you know, I want to know about marijuana, about you working with Zen Leaf Naperville. So I'm sure that back in the day on the road, for you to recover, along with, you know, partying all night, dance a little longer, there was some marijuana. How much did that help you recover, even back in the day in your wrestling days?
Well, I didn't use the wrestling days. I just started using edibles 3 years ago. And it was to get off Ambien and Xanax, stuff I used to sleep at night.
So all those years in the road, Rick, you never used cannabis. I know it had to be around the locker room back then, too, though, right?
Oh, it was everywhere, yeah. I wasn't against it. I just had asthma as a child growing up, and I outgrew it eventually. But that's why I didn't smoke it. I had nothing against it. I just actually... you know, absolutely. My friends all used it day and night, but the oil wasn't available. The healing products weren't available as much as just the smoking capability.
So, Rick, I went to college in the Twin Cities at Hamline University.
There you go.
Yeah, and I followed your career for so many decades. You were at the University of Minnesota, and then you get into wrestling with Vern Gagne. Where would you be today if Vern Gagne doesn't pluck you out and watch the 30 for 30 where he said, "You're not a loser, you're not a quitter. Get with me, we're going back to this camp with Ricky Steamboat and all these other..." Where would you be today?
You know, quite honestly, I'm not sure. I'm sure I would have been okay, but not having lived the level of life that I've been lucky enough to be part of. I had the ability. I wasn't prepared. I was like weightlifting and trying to be a big power lifter, living with Ken Patera. And I hadn't run a mile in probably 3 or 4 years. And we got out to that camp that first day. I weighed 310. And Ken had just come back from Munich, where he won a bronze medal. It was about 330. We ran 2 miles outdoors at a cornfield, 500 free squats, 250 push-ups, and 250 crunches. And, man, it took me, I would say Ken and I were there at least 6 hours minimum. We never even got in the ring. I looked at Ken and said, God, I don't know if this is what I signed up for, man. I'm not ready for this. And the next day I could hardly walk. You can only imagine if you haven't done free squats. Sometimes they're brutal.
Oh, man.
Anyway, I was young. I was still in decent shape, but I just wasn't prepared for that. So went back the next day, same thing. And I said, screw this, I'm going home. And I just, you know, there were no cell phones back then or anything. So I just, I called Greg and said, Greg, tell your dad I appreciate him. I'm not doing this. And he said, okay, my dad, he's not going to be happy. I said, well, I'm not happy doing it. And knock on my door about 5:30, came to the house, grabbed me, slapped me, threw me out in the front yard. Said, let people down at so many different junctions of your life that this is something that you're not walking out on me. And that was the difference maker. I didn't.
Ric Flair.
And here I am today, you know, 73 yeah. years old. I've been through a lot, but I don't think everyone threw anything as hard as that damn training camp.
Yeah. Zen Lee Naperville, that's where you're going to be, Rick, 5:30 to 7:30. He joins us here on Cap and Jay Hood. I, with you being in Chicago, as you well know, this is Vern Gagne, AWA territory. It's easy. Rick, there's so many that was in that camp, though, that did quit that I don't think Vern went to their door. How much that mean to you that he went to you and said, hey, don't quit because others dropped off in that same camp, too, right?
No, nobody dropped off. No, it was that my camp actually came up was a year after me. But we all did the same thing. I mean, climbing the stairs with a wheelbarrow, you know, on your hands, and then it was insane. But my camp was Greg Gagne, Jim Brunzell, both who are living. I talked to last week. Cosgrove, Missouri, Ken Patera, myself.
So being like, how did the whole personality of the Nature Boy start? Because, you know, I remember Dick the Bruiser and the Crusher and Moose Cholak and who's the guy they drove the car over his stomach?
Pepper Gomez
with the cast iron stomach. Like, how did you develop the Nature Boy?
Beg your pardon?
How did you become the Nature Boy with the boas and all? Where did that come from?
Well, I was in a plane crash in 75 where I broke my back and killed the pilot, paralyzed two guys. So I actually got off lucky. And a guy named George Scott said to me, why don't we try and come up with something different for you? I really hadn't established any kind of an identity. I was catching on to it and getting pretty good at it, but you know, it's always better if you've got an identity or a gimmick you can live with and convince the people that you like. And I think to be really successful, almost have to live that character back in that day. So there was a guy named Buddy Rogers who was very famous from the 50s and 60s. And George Scott said, let's try something like Nature Boy Ric Flair and take a page out of Rogers' book. And as Harley Race would say, you guys remember Harley Race?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The man.
Harley would say, I'm going to do his voice now. Blair took Rogers' gimmick to a whole new level.
It was amazing, man.
It's true. Love Harley, man. Harley Race. Hey, I know you love Harley. You love Harley Race all the way to the end.
Hey, now, Ed Bronstein is taking the Nature Boy to a whole new level.
It's the greatest. So as you went through this whole thing, and again, I watched so much stuff about you where you said, if I'm going to be wrestling in Hutchinson, Kansas, I sure as hell ain't going to be spending the night alone. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go out and have a good
Absolutely.
Time. So
I wish I had cannabis products then.
Yeah. So, Rick, there was no Twitter then. There was no Facebook to get your message out. How would you get a message out to all the lovely young ladies in Hutchinson, Kansas? I'm going to be in the lobby of the Marriott buying drinks. How would you let people know?
That's probably going to happen at Hutchinson.
Not at Hutchinson, he said. But definitely in Chicago, and definitely in Baltimore, and all other places around the territories, right?
Oh, in Tokyo, Sydney, Australia, Auckland, New Zealand.
I'm just
a local resident.
Rick, I tell Cap all the time about, you know, when the Horsemen would come into town, because I would be out at the UIC Pavilion seeing all the shows, that you and the Horsemen would always hang around, you know, Rush Street, and you had a great relationship with the Blackhawks at that time, right?
I did. My really close friend, Bruce MacArthur, is part of the Wirtz family, and I knew Rock. I actually knew Arthur. I've gotten to know Bill real well, of course, Bill passed, and so with Arthur. I know Rocky, and my friend Bruce, I'm hoping to see while I'm in town. But, we went to a place called the Snuggery, and, of course, I was at Gibson's last night, so... It's a great town. I love Chicago. I've never seen it better than it is right now.
My brother ran into you at Gibson's, and he said everywhere you go, everybody gravitates to you. Not every athlete could say that. Sure, if Michael Jordan walks in, they gravitate to him. He's Michael Jordan, or Justin Fields is our quarterback. You're 73 years old, and here, everywhere you go, people are doing, woo! I mean, you're a living legend. What is that like for you?
To be honest with you, I never get tired of it. I'm very fortunate in the fact that happened last night at Gibson's because I got him to turn off the Bulls and put the Yankees on. How hard is that to do?
Oh, jeez. Wow.
Wow. That's power in the city.
Yeah, so I have a great relationship with people like that. I actually was with Steve Lombardi, the owner, the night they opened in '89.
Yeah, so it's really awesome.
I love the Wirtz family and everything, but this relationship I have with Chad now and this cannabis thing is probably the biggest opportunity I've ever had in my life. So that's what I'm in town for now the next 2 days. And, I love Illinois. Like you said, I've spent half my life wrestling here in Chicago and in the Illinois area.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to this, and I think the next 2 days will be huge for us.
Zen Leaf Naperville, that's where Rick is going to be, 5:30 to 7:30. Stop by. The Ric Flair Drip Cannabis products will be available there. Get a chance to take photos and see Rick right there at Zen Leaf Naperville. How's your daughter, Ashley? We haven't seen her for a while. How's she doing, and when's she going to return to WWE, you think?
Oh, she's doing great. I just, I think they mutually agreed to let her have a little break. She met, you know, she came out in 2000, debuted on the main roster in 15, and she's been on top. You know, literally, that was very difficult for anybody to stay on top in a main event position for 7 or 8 years now. So she got married, and she just took some time off, and I think it was mutually agreed upon.
Yeah, the hope you know what, she's sorely missed on that program, you know, as you well know.
I'm sure it was mutually agreed upon. Yeah, she's just taking the time. She bought a new home, decorating that, doing some stuff that normal people do that don't get. That when you're traveling full time, you don't have the opportunity to do. So it's working out great for her, and I'm sure she'll be back hopefully anyway. Well, by the first of the year.
Hey, before we let you go, if I told you we're going to go out, Jonathan and I are going to go out and we can have four people with us. You're one of them. We want to have just an absolutely insane night. Who would be the other three people that you would say, okay, I want him, like Bobby Hall or whoever? Give me three other athletes. Mike Tyson. Who would you put in that group?
Well, I know Bobby real well. I haven't seen him in a while, but take you guys out for a night. I would say any age group.
Yep.
Yeah.
It would be you and I. It would be the three of us and Roddy Piper and Arn Anderson.
Oh boy.
All night.
All night. You've got a full sweater.
Okay. So, all right. This is our favorite promo. It was for Baltimore. And you said, like, if you're in Baltimore and you're 21 with a full sweater, come see me at the Marriott. And I'm sure there'd be a ton of people at the Marriott to see you, Rick. Of course.
Yeah. 18 to 28. No boyfriends, no husbands.
That's awesome.
Space Mountain will be open all night long.
We got a guy out on the street now holding up a woo sign with the four.
This is your town, Rick. Rick, this is your town. Hey, last thing. You got Woo Wings going. You know Chicago's your town. Is there going to be a Woo Wings in Chicago at some point? You're in all these other cities. When will Woo Wings come to Chicago?
To be honest with you, the project is just very, we're in a lot of cities and doing real well so far, but I've been so involved in this cannabis project that I haven't had much time to pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
When the cannabis is my first commitment, and after we get successfully launched, we'll be in 15 states, which is huge to be this far along in the game. And Chad and Aristotle and these guys just keep pushing, and so, and they're geniuses at what they do. So I've kind of found their lead, and everything else I've been doing, I put to the side. I'm having so much fun doing this.
Well, it's an honor to have you on, man. I'm going to actually have you on TV with me later today. Looking forward to it. But Hoodie and I talk about you all the time.
Yes, sir. This is your town, Rick.
Let me give you some advice. If you want to find some women, bring some Ric Flair dripper on, man. They are everywhere.
Thank you, brother. We appreciate it.
Hey, I'm promoting it, man. I'm promoting it.
God bless you. We'll talk to you later.
It's the man, Nature Boy Ric Flair, is going to be at Zen Leaf Naperville today from 5:30 to 7:30. He'll have his Ric Flair drip cannabis products right there and all of his merchandise. A pleasure to talk to the man.
Dude, we just had a guy make a woo sign, come down here to the station because he heard the interview, and he's standing out there with the Four Horsemen thing up in his hands.
Woo!
Let me tell you something. You'd be surprised, Cap. You'd be surprised. He's having more fun now than he did when he wrestled as far as advertising. You would think this guy would have been in Miller Lite commercials and around the 80s and 90s. Those opportunities were not there for him to advertise
right. And
be the face of something.
Right.
He's 73. He's busier now than he was when he was 300 days on the road wrestling for the NWA.
Correct.
Crazy.
Crazy.
But I'm happy for him that he's able to go, hey, I got cannabis here. I got Woo Wings. I got my podcast. It's happening now at age 73.
Good for him.
But in his 30s and 40s, those opportunities were not available.
Good for him. A lot of fun.
Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10.